brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Welcome to the readings for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent. How's Lent going for you? Have you taken one thing and really sought to live it out? One thing that you're embracing or one thing that you're denying yourself and really drawing closer, using it to draw closer to Christ? Because when we deny ourselves, Christ has more room to operate. When we're not so self-focused, Christ can enter our lives more and more fully. Even though this is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, it's not too late. What is it in your life that most impedes the presence of God? What have you done about it? And if you say, oh, well, it's too late now, it's never too late. God can act in a split second in our lives if we give him, if we permit him, because he always stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't raid us. He doesn't step on us. He doesn't trample us. He waits till he's invited. Have you invited him into your heart? It's a key question. I was very struck again by the introduction to this fifth Sunday of Lent in Magnificat magazine. I want to just share an opening paragraph here. On this final Lenten Sunday before Palm Sunday, there's the fifth Sunday of Lent, then Palm Sunday, then Easter. On this final Lenten Sunday before Palm Sunday, Christ looks at us as he looks at the woman caught in adultery. And we're going to read about that today. Her sin, our sin, is patent and undeniable. Think about your own sin. The question is, how do we look back at Christ with the self-righteousness, yet guilty eyes of the scribes and the Pharisees who dropped their stones, but not their murderous intentions? They drop their stones and walk away. Who among you is without sin? Cast the first stone. And they drop their stones and they walk away, but they don't drop their murderous intentions, which they will now turn to Jesus. Jesus will receive the murderous acts that they were going to exercise on the adulterous woman. Or like the adulteress who remains alone before Jesus and who accepts with humble confidence the sentence of Christ, I do not condemn you. Do you need to kneel before Jesus? You need to hear him say the words, as we repent of our sin, I do not condemn you. The woman gains the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus as her Lord. Thanks to that event, we accept the loss of all things, considering them as so much rich. Especially our willfulness, our self-sufficiency, our meanness, our malice, our self-assertion, and our pride. She and we remember not the events of the past, but instead enter upon the path that Christ opens in the mighty waters. The accumulation of all the tears shed throughout history, the Father opens a way not in the sea, but in the side of his Son. Remember the side pierced by the lance, out of which flowed blood and water. It's that life-giving water, brothers and sisters, that we're called to drink from. First reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lay prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past. The things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. He's giving us Christ. For centuries we had the prophets. They told us the truth and we rejected them. We killed them. We condemned them. We banished them. And he says, see, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way. In the wasteland rivers, wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. So we might find ourselves in deserts of our own making or others' making. We might find ourselves in challenging circumstances. And yet God brings water to the desert, and he brings rivers into the wasteland. It's himself. And it comes forth from his side, which he allowed to be pierced for your salvation and for mine. For my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. See, I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? We rejected the prophets, and what does God do? He sends his only beloved Son. And what did we do? Some we listened. Many we mocked him, ridiculed him, denied him, betrayed him, crucified him. And then he does the impossible. He rises from the dead. Brothers and sisters, draw as close as you can to him. It's quite a ride, and it's wonderful, even in the darkness. And I don't mean I'm happy, happy, but even in the darkness, there is a sense that he is here and that he will lead, he will guide, he will reveal, he will show us the way. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Although they go forth weeping, this is one of those verses that's so familiar in this psalm, Psalm 126. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves, the fruits of your labor. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. We plant the seeds of faith and we weep. We reap the fruit in love and joy and peace. Let your tears water the ground, water the soil. God will do what only God can do. Out of desert wasteland in our own lives or elsewhere, out of desert wasteland, the flowers bloom. I remember last summer, I think I mentioned it, doing a retreat, and it was in Arizona, so I had a chance to be out there in that desert area, and just to see the miles and miles and miles of desert, sand, hot, and then to see a bloom on a cactus, to see a flower bloom on a cactus and something seemingly dead wasn't underneath. And it isn't in our lives either. Even if we feel like our lives look like a desert, if you put your roots down in Christ, you will bear abundant fruit. And Paul to the Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul's learned this. The mighty Paul has become the humble Paul. I count everything as loss. I accept the loss of all things. I count them as so much rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ. He knows Christ. He hasn't seen him in all his glory, but he knows Christ, and he's willing to sacrifice everything, anything for that. Are you? Start with asking God for greater faith and hope and love. Read this passage of Paul. Read other letters of Paul. See what happened in Paul's life and know that it can happen in yours. It is not that I have already taken hold of it, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead, he's speaking about. It's not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it. Since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Have you been taken possession of by Christ Jesus? You can. Give your life, surrender everything. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. Continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. He does not look back now. He's changed his ways. He's gone in a different direction. There's great power. So he turns his back on the past and goes forward. May we be able to do the same, brothers and sisters, and can by the grace of God. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. Do you see the arrogance? They didn't care about her at all. She had committed sin, and she had. She had committed sin. She was to be condemned. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" I mean, that they were just throwing down the gauntlet. They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. Don't you wonder what he was doing? He must have looked down. He just sat down, kind of put his head down, and started writing on the ground with his finger. But then when they continued asking him, he straightened up. So it's almost like he ignored them, looked like he was doodling. Who knows what he was doing? Some people think he was writing down their sins and they saw them. Who knows? I'm not a scholar in that regard and I can't even give you an interpretation. But I can say if people are coming up to you and basically pounding on your door and you just kind of sit there looking like you're doodling, it could infuriate them even more. He straightened up and he said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. He ignored them, put his head down. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. And then Jesus straightened up. He pays attention to her. He looks her straight in the eye, this sinner, and he says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she replied, "No one, sir." And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." He forgave her her sin. But he told her, "Now you have to move on to a different path. Don't do it anymore." That's important for us when we repent of our sin, to now take a new path, just as he asked this prostitute to do, and she did. May God give to you and me the grace to respond to him more and more and more. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.